Today's daf is Shabbos daf Kuf Gimel. We are 19 lines from the bottom of daf Kuf Beis Amid Beis, the two dots, the Hamisates. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shalema for Shlomo ben Sara Aliza, Avram ben Gittel, Yitzchak Eliyahu ben Chaya Sara, Avram Kadesh ben Malka Bela, Avram Yekasil ben Gittel, Rafal Chaim Shayosha ben Baba Chaya Rivka, Yehuda Leib Chizkiyo ben Basya, Chaim ben Yom Mordechai ben Ida, Chizki Shlomo Ziskin ben Nechama, Yosef Tzvi ben Chana Henela, Yerachmiel Tzvi Moshe ben Chana, Harav Chaim Doiv ben Krendel, Ya'el Bas Bela, Shoshana Tova Bas Esther, Michal Shoshana Bas Tova Hadasa, and Chava Sero Bas Chana Freda. Today's daf is also being learned. Le'ilu Nishmas, Aharon David ben Dov, Yechiel Yosef ben Tzvi Betzalo, Shloim Zev ben Avram Yitzchak, Mordechai Ziskin ben Meir Ochanan, and Baruch Tzvi ben Ephraim Zalman Halevi. So yesterday we began the 12th parak of Masach de Shabbos, parak HaBoyna, which doesn't deal with the Melacha of Haitzah, but rather begins with the Melacha of Boina, Makad HaPatish, and as we'll see in the course of the daf, it's going to get into other of the Lamites Melachas as well. The Mishnah said, HaBoina, as it relates to the shear of Boina, Kama Yivna V'yehei Chayiv. How much does a person have to build in order for him to be Chayiv? And the Mishnah says a Kolshu. If somebody builds a Kolshu, he's going to be Chayiv. Then the Mishnah discussed other actions that if somebody does on Shabbos, even a Kolshu, he's going to be chayev. Hamesates, if somebody chisels a stone, the hamaka bepatish, which is one of the lamates melachos, uve matzed, or if somebody is maka, not with a hammer, a patish, but rather with a sledgehammer, hakoideach, if somebody grooves a hole into something, even if it's only a kolshu, chayev, he's going to be chayev. So the Gemara is now going to begin with a machloikis between Rav and Shmuel as to Misates. If somebody chisels a stone, it's clear in the Mishnah, it's one of the Lamates Melachos. It's clear in the Mishnah, it's an Isser D'Oraisa. The Mishnah said if somebody does it on Shabbos, he'll be Chayev. What does Chayev mean? If he does it b'mezid with Edom and Asra, Skila. If he does it b'mezid without Edom or Asra, then it would be Karis. If he does it b'shoigig, he's going to be Chayev Chata. So clearly, Misates is one of the Lamates Melachos. The question, however, is going to be, is it the Melacha of Boina, or is it the Melacha of Makab Patish? So I think, just as a very, very brief introduction, before we begin the first Gemara, it's important to become a little more familiar with the Melacha of Makab Patish. So Makab Patish is one of the Lamates Melachos. Literally, a Makab HaPatish is someone that deals the final blow. If you ask a man on the street, what is Makab HaPatish? He'll say that somebody was in middle of building something, someone was in middle of doing something, it wasn't finished. On Shabbos, he goes and he does the last little bit that had to be done. The halacha is, he's going to violate Makab HaPatish. So here's the question. If somebody builds something on Shabbos, he's chayev mishum boina. If somebody writes something on Shabbos, he's chayev mishum koisev. Do we say that if a person builds a complete object on Shabbos, in addition to be chayev mishum boina, he's also going to be chayev for Makab HaPatish? If somebody writes a sefer on Shabbos, so not only did he write, but he was also a Makab HaPatish. At first glance, you would think yes. Meaning, Makab HaPatish at first glance would seem to overlap with many of the other melachos. Meaning, it's very mistaber that if a person does a melacha on Shabbos, not only will he violate the particular melacha that he did, but he would also violate the melacha Makab HaPatish. And that is, in fact, Shitas Rashi in the Sugyas of Masech de Shabbos. But I think it's worth mentioning the Lashon of the Me'iri in our Sugya, in Perek HaBoyna, where the Me'iri says that it's a mistake. And the truth is that to the extent that the action that's being performed is one of the Lamites Melachos, then by definition it's not going to be Makab HaPatish. The Me'iri says that Makab HaPatish begins after the melacha ends. Meaning, if you're building something and you're involved in the actual construction of the thing it is that you're building, being that you're a boina, by definition, you can't be a Makab HaPatish. Makab HaPatish is when you complete the melacha of boina. So technically, you built something. You want to know, did you build something? The answer is yes. But at the same time, it's not 100% complete. There's still a knech or something that will probably be added before it's actually used. If that's the case, then that little thing in and of itself now becomes aser to do on Shabbos. And that's what's known as Makab HaPatish. But says the Me'iri, to the extent that what I'm doing is boina, then by definition it can't be Makab HaPatish, because the intrinsic definition of Makkah Bapatish is where the melachos that needed to be done to prepare this item were completed. There's a final blow that needs to now be done. You went ahead and you did that. That in and of itself takes on of a life of its own and it becomes a melacha. But to the extent you didn't finish building, then you can't be a Makkah Bapatish. So if I complete the binyan, I'm not a Makkah Bapatish, I'm a Baina. Baina starts, says the Meiri, where Makkah Bapatish ends. Either way, on that note, Zok de Gemara. Hamasati. So the Mishnah says if somebody chisels a stone, so he has a stone, he wants to incorporate it in something that he's building, but it wasn't the smooth properly. So he goes and he makes it to the right shape and size that he's looking for. So the Mishnah says, even if it was a kol shu, it was so small what he did, still he's going to be chayiv. Says the Gemara, Mesatis b'shomai mechayiv. What melacha does one violate when he's Mesatis? Rav Amar Rav said, Mishum boina. He's boina. Shmuel Amar Mishum Makkah Bepatish. Shmuel says, he's a Makkah Bepatish. Rav said, he's a boina because he built the brick or he's going to use the brick to now build something, so there's a tzad boina in what he did, and he's chayim bishon boina. Shmuel says, you're not being boina, what are you being boina? What you're doing is you're makkah bepatish, you're finalizing, you're tweaking it a little bit so that you could be able to use it. That is the definition of makkah bepatish. Another machlik is, if somebody has a chicken coop and there was no hole in it, and the person felt that it was important for the chickens to be able to breathe, additionally, the bad smells that are inside the coop should be able to go outside. He created a little bit of ventilation by making a hole. It's also to do on Shabbos. No machlokes. Rav Omer, Rav says, Mishum boina. The malach is boina. Shmuel, Mishum boina. Mishum makkah bepatish. He's going to violate makkah bepatish. I will shuv the bekufina tomorrow. If somebody stuck something inside the hole where the handle meets the bottom of the shovel. So picture a handle and a shovel. The two are in between. Assuming that it's not firmly inside, so you would stick, Rashi says, a yose, like a peg, to hold it together really strongly. It's also to do that on Shabbos. The question is, what melach is it? Rav Amar Mishum Boina. Shmuel Amar Mishum Makkah Bepatish. So we have three machloikesim between Rav and Shmuel. All agree that the following is aser. The question is, which malacha is it? Is it Mishum Boina or is it Makkah Bepatish? In all three cases, Rav took the position that it was Boina and Shmuel took the position that it was Makkah Bepatish. What were the three? If someone chisels a stone, if somebody makes a hole in a chicken coop, or if somebody puts a peg in the hole where the handle of the shovel meets the blade of the shovel. And the Gemara says, Vitzricha, Rav and Shmuel had to argue in all three cases. Yes, we didn't come Aiso, because had we only had the first machlekes regarding someone that chisels a stone, I would have thought, Bikam, Rav, Mishum, Derech, Bini, Bekach. I would have thought over there, Rav says that he's a boina, because that's part of the building process. In order to build, you need stones, you need bricks. And in order to have bricks that are commercially functional, you have to chisel them. But to make a hole inside a chicken coop, that's actually out of the ordinary. Rashi says, usually there were windows in the hole, in the chicken coop that provided ventilation, but to make a little hole, that's in derech binyan bekach. So you would think maybe over there Rav agrees that it's not boina. What is it? It's makkah bepatish. Yes, bina b'ha. And had we only had the second case, the machlokes by the lundo shel town negoyim b'ha, become a Rav, I would say the Rav said his halacha mishum de dami lebinyan, because at the end of the day, it's a binyan. Even though it's not maybe the most typical form of baina, but at the same time, it does qualify as baina. You're making a hole in a coop, so it's an element of baina. Da'avdi la'vira, because at the end of the day, it serves the function that people usually incorporate into binyanim. Aval shufso b'kavina demara, but to put the peg inside the shovel, they derech binyan b'kach, they don't do a binyan. Eimim ma'idi la'de Shmuel, you would think he's ma'idi to Shmuel. So therefore, Rav had to tell me his chiddush that all three cases is considered by yesh minim b'ha. Okay, so what's the obvious question? Let's just say the last case. Just tell me Rav's halacha by shufso b'kavina demara that's called bayna, and I would know the lul shel tar negoilim, and I would know if someone's mesatis nevin as well. So Gemara says that's true. In Rav's world, you would know it, but we wouldn't know Shmuel's halacha because had we only had the third case, I would have thought, Baha Kamra Shmuel, maybe Shmuel only said his halacha in that case, that it's not boina, that it's makkah bepatish, because that's not really a binyan. Aval bahanach tarti, but in the case of the lo shel tar negoilim, or in the case of somebody chisels a stone, ebe moidele the Rav, you would think that maybe Shmuel's moid over there to Rav, that it is considered boina. Tzricha, therefore we needed all three cases to teach me the machloikis in all three cases. Incidentally, the bottom taisv is one line. Taisva says if you make the cheshbin, it's not clear why we needed the middle case of lul shel tar negoilim. Really, the Gemara could have just told us the machlokes Rav and Shmuel in the two extreme cases. Tell me that Shmuel holds Makabe Patish even by Mesates, and Rav holds Boina even when you stick the peg into the shovel. What's the point in telling me about the Lushal Tarnagolim? That's Toisfist Kasha. Zokta Gemara. Boina, Rav Nosam Barishayo. May Rav Yoichino. Mesates, Bishamai Mechayev. If someone's Mesates, we know he violated one of the Lamentas Melachas. How do we know? With the Mishnah. Second line of the Mishnah. Mesates Kol Shu Chayev. But the question that Rav Nosam Barishayo asked Rav Yoichino, which one of the Lamentas Melachas is it? So we know it was a Machlaikis Rav and Shmuel. That was in Bavel. This question was presented to Rabbi Yochanan in Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says, "Achfalei biyodei." He showed him with his hand. Mishum makabe patish. What does it mean? He showed him with his hand. Bottom Rashi, makabe egroifay al kapoy. He made a fist. Kemakabe patish. He punched his fist. Says the Gemara of Anantanan. Is that true? But we learned in our Mishnah, "Hamesates v'hamakabe patish." What did the Mishnah say? "V'hamesates v'hamakabe patish." Doesn't it sound like mesates is not makabe patish? So the Gemara says, "Yeah. If you have the girsa the way we have it in the Mishnah, it certainly sounds that way, but Ema can always tweak it. Hamisates hamakabe patish, not hamisates vehamakabe patish, which would imply that they're two different things. But rather hamisates, which is makabe patish, meaning it could be mesates really is makabe patish. Toshma, I'll bring you a right. Hakoydeach kol shu chayav. The Braisa said that if, or the Mishnah said that if somebody would groove a small hole into something, even a kol shu, he would be chayav. Says the Gemara. Bishlam the Rav. Bishlam according to Rav that this is boina. Then you would say, Mechzi Kamanda Charchur to Lebanyana. I understand why it's Baina. You're making a hole. Incidentally, the Lashon of the Gemara is Mechzi. Mechzi is always, it looks like it's not the real thing, which would suggest it's not really Baina, which can't be because the Mishnah said, HaKodeach Kolshu is Chayiv, which means it really is an Issadei Raisa. Some Achrayim say that the word Mechzi is really out of context. It's the wrong word. But El Lashmul, the Gemara says, but according to Shmuel, that says a Mesates and is really a Makabe Patish, then a Koideach, Kolshu, should also be Makabe Patish. If making a hole in the Lushal Tarnagolim is a Makabe Patish, according to Shmuel, then making this little hole, the Koideach Kolshu, should also be Makabe Patish. What's the kasha? You're not making Makabe Patish. Why? Because Lav Gvar Melachahu. Because if you groove the hole, presumably you're going to put something in the hole. You're going to probably fill it up. So if you're going to fill it up, that means you're not completed. Meaning, according to Rav, that has a very liberal definition of Baina. Rav says you make a hole in a chicken coop, it's Baina. You chisel a stone, it's Baina. You stick the peg inside the shovel, it's Baina. So if you're Kodeach Kosher, you make a hole in something, it's probably also Baina. Okay, if it's Baina, it's Baina. We understand why you have. But Shmuel held all those cases are not Baina. If they're not Baina, Kodeach Kosher shouldn't either be Baina. If it's not Baina, then why you have? You're not Baina, you're not a Makabe Patish either. Why are you not a Makabe Patish? Because you're not going to plug the hole. Now, how do you know you're... Because you're going to plug the hole. And if you're going to plug the hole and you didn't do it yet, so that means you were a Makabe Patish. Makabe Patish means the final blow, not the second to last blow. It means the last blow. Now, how do you know you plan on closing this hole? Maybe you're going to leave it. People leave holes sometimes. Maybe the Mishnah is talking about someone that was Kodeach Kosher where he plans on leaving the hole exposed. So Rashi says, because the word koideach means al menas lemalos. And that's why it says Rashi, that you find sometimes Chazal used the word koideach to describe someone that made a hole, and sometimes noikev, miloshen nekev, to describe someone that's making a hole. What's the difference? If your intention is to fill it, you're a koideach. If your intention is to leave it open, then you're a noikev. The point is, the Mishnah said koideach, which means you're going to fill it. If you're not boina, you shouldn't be makabe patash either. So Gemara says, "Talk about my skin and the bazei beramza the parzala the shavka begave the hainu Gemara mila." So Gemara, but a person drilled a hole, but the way he drilled the hole was with a screw, and the screw is actually going to stay in that space where he drilled. So he actually did both. He drilled the hole, and at the same time, he plugged the hole with the screw. The point is, it's makabe patash. So according to Rav, if someone's kedeach kolshu, he's going to be chayim mishum boina. According to Shmuel, if someone's kedeach kolshu, he's going to be chayim mishum makabe patash. The Mishnah said, zeh haklal. Kol ha'osem melacha, u'melachtei miskayemes b'shabes chayim. If somebody does something that is considered a melacha, even if he could have done more, but if some people would consider this a real malacha, that's enough for you to be chayav. Now we know wherever Chazal used the word zeh haklal, it's coming to be marbe something that I otherwise wouldn't know. Otherwise, we don't need the rule. So the Mishnah doesn't have to say zeh haklal to tell me what it already said. So zeh haklal is always to teach me something that maybe I wouldn't have known, even from the halacha of the Mishnah. So zeh haklal lasuye, my lasuye docha kafiza bekava. If somebody has a block and he's making a hole in it, he can make a bigger hole, he makes a smaller hole, even though he could have done more, but as long as the smaller hole is chashuv, that's enough for him to be chayim. Rav Gamliel Omer, Rav Gamliel said in the Mishnah, af hamakah b'kornes al asadon, if somebody uses his hammer and he bangs not on the keli that he's working on, but rather on the anvil, where the keli that he's working on is. So think of a shoemaker. So a shoemaker will take a shoe, will put it on his anvil, his stand that's shaped like a person's foot, puts the shoe on top of it, and he claps. He claps on the shoe, but sometimes he would clap on the anvil. So Shimon Gamliel said a chiddush. If someone's makab a cornice, if he hits the cornice, not the shoe, that's a malacha. So the Gemara says, my covid. Well, what malacha is that? Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef, the Amir Travai, so the two, the Gedolei Adar, Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef both said, the Sinai and the Ikaharim. Because what he's doing is he's training his hand. He's training himself to go through the motion. So like this, when the bright lights are shining, he'll be able to get it right. So that in and of itself is considered part of the malacha. And for that he's giving kosher. But the Rechava heard this, they didn't understand. He said, "Oh, if that's the case, if somebody watches somebody do a malacha on Shabbos, so you're going to tell me, and he learned how to do this malacha. So you're an intern, and you watch someone doing a malacha on Shabbos, you're really not supposed to. But you do it anyways. So you're going to be chayiv? How could that be? You're not doing anything. So if you're not doing anything, how could you be chayiv? So the Gemara says, they said, you're right. They actually did this in the Mishkan. This is not just something that this person is doing, but in the Mishkan, they physically did this. The people whose job it was, the workers in the Mishkan, to take the gold and put it on the krushim, to plate the krushim with gold. So what they would do is, they would smooth the gold out. They had to hack the gold. So they had their keli that they used to hack it. And after every couple of claps, Rashi says, after every three on the tas, they would do one on the sadon, one on the anvil. And the reason they did it was because in the event that the hammer that they're using is going to have a little something sticking out, it can ruin the gold. And as a result, it's like a shoychit that needs to be boidik the sakin to make sure that he's not going to make the animal a treifa before he shechts it. It's a very similar concept. So this is something that people did. In fact, Rashi says, ubale mat. Rashi says, I myself observed that the people that used to make coins, Bim Koimenu, where Rashi lived, this is what they used to do. But either way, says the Gemara, this was something that was actually done in the Mishkan. It was part of Lechsa Mishkan. It's part of Lechsa Mishkan. So it counts as Amalach. We see this Mefurish in the Brisa. Why? It's Mefurish in this Brisa. So just one Ha'ara before we start the Mishnah. So we had a Machloik. Is Rav and Shmuel Mesates? Are you chayev mishum boina? You chayev mishum makab bepatish. If someone makes a neker belushal darn negoyim, are you chayev a boina or makab bepatish? If someone takes a shufsa and he puts a bekufina tomorrow, is he chayev mishum boina or makab bepatish? The Gemara added to that hakoydeach kolshu that the Mishnah talked about. Are you chayev a boina? Are you chayev a makab bepatish? Does it make a difference? Does it make a difference if you chayev mishum boina or if you chayev mishum makab bepatish? What difference does it make? So the short answer would be, it would happen after Mino. If let's say the person that was Mesates also built something. Meaning, he did Boina and Mesates. B'shoigig. B'helamecha. You're going to be chayiv one chatas or two chatas. If Mesates is Boina, so you did the same malacha twice, b'helamecha, you're only going to be chayiv one chatas. If Mesates is makab patish, you'll be chayiv mishum Boina, you'll be chayiv mishum makab patish. So it could play out an academic nafkamina in the event that you did another malacha in terms of determining how many chatois you would be chai. But the truth is, Rashi speaks out here in the sugya, and this is something that we haven't spoken about yet because it really comes up later in the Masechta, and that is, we know in order for someone to be chai of Mises Bezdin, he has to have been warned before he did the malacha. Two Eidim would have to tell the person, Rabbi Yid, I'm letting you know, what you're doing now is aser. Here's the chiddush. Not only does a person have to be warned that what he's doing is aser, in order for him to violate Chil Shabbos, but he needs to be told which specific malach it is. Imagine if the Eidim would tell the person that you know what you're doing is Chil Shabbos. If they didn't tell him if it's boina makav patish or if it's koisav amoichik, then the halacha is he wouldn't be chayiv. Included in the basic halacha of Asra is the person needs to be warned and told exactly what the malach is. So of course there's an afkamina whether it's boina or if it's makav patish. You have to know what Asra was. If someone was mesates, according to Rav, and he was told, don't do it, it's makav patish, he's off the hook. He's a good lawyer, he's going to get off the hook. Because it wasn't boina. It was boina, it wasn't makav patish. And the reverse according to Shmuel. The point is, whether it's boina makav patish, number one, if he did many malachis, number two, as it relates to the ikar halacha of hasra. Either way, we go from boina to makav patish to chayrish. A chayrish kol shu, if somebody plows even a little bit, hamenachish v'hamikarsim v'hamizari, these are different types of pruning and weeding, meaning somebody takes
rip something out of the ground that he doesn't want there. Usually it was done to stimulate the growth of everything that remained there. Kolshu, even if it was a kolshu, chayv is going to be chayv. So what's the shear of chayresh? It's a kolshu. What's the shear of pruning and weeding? Again, it's a kolshu. Amalaki, if somebody cuts wood, im lesakin, if the reason he did it, and of course cutting it means off the ground. If he did it to make what was on the ground better, then kolshen, even if he takes a little bit, he's going to be chayv. Im lehesek, if the reason he took the wood was not to improve the plants, not to improve the tree that he was cutting from, but rather because he needs wood to make a fire, then the shear is a different shear. Kedei levashol, beitz akalu, we've seen this shear so many times in Masechta Shabbos, the amount of wood you would need to fuel a fire to make an egg. The egg, that's the easiest egg to cook. Amalakit asav, and if somebody gathers grass, im lesakin, if the reason he did it was to be masakin the ground, kosh, even a little bit. Im lebehemah, if he did it because he wants to feed it to behemah, kimloi piagdi, then it'd be the amount that you would need to feed a behemah, a mouthful for a goat. Now you see something very interesting in the Mishnah. As it relates to someone that cuts something off the ground, sometimes the shear is a kolshu, sometimes the shear is determined based on what it is you're using it for. And the truth is, the reason the shear differs is because depending on what the person's intention was, that will determine what melacha he's actually violating. If a person cuts something from the ground, and the reason he's doing it is because he wants everything else on the ground to grow better, he's chayev mishum zoireya. If a person cuts something off the ground, not because he wants anything to grow better, he's cutting wood off a tree because he wants the wood to go make a fire, then he's not chayev mishum zoireya, then he's going to be chayev mishum koitzer. So the reason the shear is different is because the malacha is different. It's not the same miser. It's all chil Shabbos. But in one case he was a zoireya, and the other case he was a koitzer. So the shear for zoireya and the shear for koitzer is not the same thing, says the Gemara. Ha-chayresh kol. If someone's chayish, even a kolshu, he's chayim. What's a chayish? You plow a kolshu? What is that? Someone says, yeah, chazi lebizr the kari. You could plant one seed of a pumpkin. The gavasik abi mishkan. They did this in the mishkan. Shekein roy lekaleich echad shel samanim. Sometimes they used to plant one seed in the mishkan just to make some dye for what they need. Menachesh hamekarsein v'amizak ton rabban atoylish ulshin. If somebody rips ulshin, Rashi says it's a certain type of grass. Shekoyrin crispal. So if somebody would take ulshin out of the ground on Shabbos, that mazari zarod, or if he would weed his plants on Shabbos, im lachi lif, the reason he did it was because he wants to eat it, kegregus, and the shear is going to be a gregus. What melacha does he violate if he wants to eat it? He's a kaitzer. So it's food. If it's food, the shear is always going to be a gregus, because kol shiurei oichlin, as it relates to lamates melachas, is a gregus. Im lebehemah, if the reason he cut it was because he wanted to feed it to his behemo, then it's kamloi piagdi, then it's the shear oichel of a behemo. Im lehesik, if the reason he cut it was because he wants to use it as fire, then it's the amount you need to cut to cook a beitzakal. Im leyafisakak, if he did it because he wants to make the ground better, but then he says a reya, then kol shu, it's going to be a kol shu. Feitik ma atu kulu loy leyafis, it's a karkinenu. I understand all these things. Meaning, you're telling me that if his intention was to eat it, that it's a gregus. If his intention was to make everything else grow better, then it's zireya. Let's say your intention wasn't to make anything grow better. You're still making things grow better, which means at the end of the day, you're still a zireya. So if you're still a zireya, then you should be chayiv mishum zireya. And if the sheer zireya is a kolshu, so you should be chayiv for a kolshu. So the Gemara says, Rabbi v'Rabbi Yosef, the Omri Travayu ba'agam shanu. You're right. The Braisa was discussing an agam. Agam is a swamp where you don't care if anything grows or doesn't grow. It's nothing's growing anyways. Rabbi said, no, I feel the besoda. Maybe you could say he was talking about it was in a field. The lav agam, going to loy kamechavin. But being that you didn't have kavana, your kavana was never to be zireya. So therefore, you're not going to be chayim mishum zireya. That's what the Braisa is saying. If your kavana is to be zireya, then you chayim mishum zireya. This year is going to be a kolshu. If your kavana is not to be zireya, then you're not going to be chayim mishum zireya. And therefore, this year is not going to be a kolshu. Obviously, going according to Reb Shimon that holds a davar shein mischaven is mutter. But the Gemara says, "Va'abai v'rava dami travai moed Reb Shimon segreishav layomas." Didn't Abaye himself and Rava both say that even though Reb Shimon holds a davar shein mischaven is mutter, but when is a davar shein mischaven mutter? Meaning, if somebody does something, he has no intention to be mechalal Shabbos, and it turns out that he was mechalal Shabbos. The halach is, he's putter. He had no kavanah to be mechal Shabbos. What if he knew there's a chance that he might be mechal Shabbos when he does this? It doesn't matter. You could do it lechatchilo. As long as your kavanah is not to do it, don't worry about it. If, however, the result is chil Shabbos, and the result was inevitable, Hafsik Reisha V'Layamas. What do those words mean? If you cut the head off an animal, V'Layamas, do you think it's not going to die? Of course it's going to die. So if it's a Pesik Reisha V'Layamas, over there Rav Shimon was Maida. You know who said it? Abaye and Rava. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. If you cut something out of the ground, inevitably you're going to stimulate the growth. If that's the case, you're a Pesik Reisha. If you're a Pesik Reisha on Zoreya, so you should be Chai Mishum Zoreya. What's the Nafgamina? The Shir, because the Shir Zoreya is even a Koshu. So why aren't you Chayiv if your intention was, who cares what your intention was? At the end of the day, so the Gemara says, it's talking about where you didn't rip something out of your own field, you ripped something out of somebody else's field. So what? Says Rashi, he doesn't care about what happens to his friend's field. He cares about his own field. But he doesn't care about his friend's field. So if he doesn't care about his friend's field, so over there, there's no halacha psik resha. This line in Gemara is what's known as psik resha, meaning it's a psik resha, but he doesn't care about it. And you see over here a kula in the halacha of psik resha deloy nichalei. The truth is, this is the second time that psik resha deloy nichalei came up. The last time was le'il daf ayin heyam in aleph. And the truth is that over there, Rashi had a different definition of what psik resha deloy nichalei is. Reb Kiva Eger and Gullion Ashas, right here on this Rashi, asks the stira between the two Rashis, what exactly the two Rashis are, and what the stira is, and how we can maybe answer the stira is going to be a conversation for another day. But for now, Zok the Mishnah, HaKoysev, if somebody writes on Shabbos, how much do you have to write on Shabbos in order to be Chayiv? Shtei Oisiyas, two letters. Maybe me to maybe so. It doesn't matter if you write with your right hand or your left hand. Baby Shemecha, Baby Shtei Shevas. Doesn't matter if the two letters were the same letter, two Alephs, or it was two letters, Aleph base. Baby Shtei Samonius. It doesn't matter if you wrote them in two colors. Bechol Losh, it doesn't matter what language it was. Chayiv, you're going to be Chayiv. You write to Oisiyas, you Chayiv. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yosef said, Chayiv Shtei Oisiyas, Ela Mishum Roshim. Rabbi Yosef says, we know all the Lamatats Malachis are usher because they were in the Mishkan. Where was their koisev in the Mishkan? So there was a seder of how the crush and the beams had to be lined up. How did the Leviim know which beam was supposed to go where? So they used to make markers on each one of the simanim. So Rabbi Yossi says, if you think about it, they never really wrote in preparing for the Mishkan. What they did was they were roishim in preparing for the Mishkan. And it makes a very big difference, because there's a difference if the malacha is called koisev or if the malacha is called roishim, as we'll see in the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yehuda said, Matzinu shem katan mishem gadol. If somebody had a mind to write a name, a shem gadol, and he stopped in middle of the sentence, or middle of the word, middle of the name. So he was going to write a shame gadol. He ended up writing a shame katan. But the shame katan is a shame. So for example, shame mishimoin. He had a mind to write shimoin. Instead, he wrote shame, as in shame ben noyach. Or mishmul. He had a mind to write shmul, and he just wrote the shim and the men. Noyach, he wrote noyach. But his original intention was to write nachar. Don, he wrote don. But his original intention was to write Daniel. God, his original intention was to write Gadiel. Says Rabbi Yehuda, in all these cases, you're going to be chayiv. What would be the havamina you shouldn't be chayiv? You had a mind to write a longer name. Meleches machsheves asur tayr. I know you wrote two oises. But you had a mind to write more than two oises. Maybe in this case, you shouldn't be chayiv. That's Rabbi Yehuda's chiddush, that you're going to be chayiv. Zok de Gemara. So the first halacha of the Mishnah was that if somebody writes two oises, it doesn't matter if it's with his right hand or his left hand. Either one way is going to be chayiv. Break the Gemara. Bishlam, I am in the chayiv. I understand what this person's chayiv for writing with his right hand. That's the right way to do a malach. El asmal amai. Why is he chayv if he writes with his left hand? And one of the important halachas in Hilchos Shabbos is that the only time a person violates one of the malachas is if he does the malacha derech. He does it in the normal, in the usual and customary way. But if you deviate in terms of what the regular way of doing this malacha is, you're a righty and you write with your left hand, it's not considered a malacha. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Assuming he's a righty, why is he chayv if he writes with his left hand? Rabbi Yirmi said, he wasn't a righty, he was a lefty. Freit the Gemara, so say he's a lefty. Then what's the kash of it? Have a small day, ki yamin de guliyama, vasmol chayv, amin lo mitham. Why is he chayv for writing with his right hand? If he's a lefty, then writing with his right hand is kalachayat, literally. So why is he chay with his right hand? Elam Rabbaya, Abaya said, b'shoylet b'shtei yado. If he's a switch hitter, he writes with his right hand and with his left hand. So either one is considered derech. Neither one is considered shaloike derech. And it's for that reason he's chayiv, whether he wrote with his right hand or whether he wrote with his left hand. Rabbi Yaakov bereid the bas Yaakov Amri said a different shalomani. Rabbi Yosi, the time of the Mishnah is Rabbi Yosi. The Amar who we just mentioned a moment ago, lechayvu shtei Yosi Yos elu mishum roishim. Rabbi Yosi holds the malacha is not koisev; it's a misnomer. The word koisev, it's roishim. It's for simply making a reshima. That's what the malacha is. So if it's koisev,
A righty will never write with his left hand. A lefty will never write with his right hand. But if you have to make a siman, you just have to make a mark. A righty will sometimes make a siman with his left hand, and a lefty will sometimes make a siman with his right hand. So if it's roshem, oh, then we understand the Mishnah. But the Gemara says, how could you tell me the time of the Mishnah is Rabbi Yossi? For amid the sefer, Rabbi Yossi, Rachel, Lav, Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi was mentioned in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yossi commented on what the Tanakhama said. So clearly the Tanakhama is not Rabbi Yossi. The Gemara says, no, cool, Rabbi Yossi. Really, the whole time of the Mishnah is Rabbi Yossi. It's all Rabbi Yossi. And really, it's only according to Rabbi Yossi that a person would be Chayiv, whether he writes with his right hand or whether he writes with his left hand. So the end of the Mishnah, which will take us until the end of the Daf, was something that Rabbi Yehuda said. If somebody sat down, his intention was to write a Shem Gadol. He wanted to write Shmuel, Shimon. He wanted to write Nachar, Daniel, Gadiel. And he ended up writing a Shem Katan. So instead of writing Shimon, he wrote Shin Mem. Instead of writing Nachar, he wrote Nunches. Says Rabbi Yehuda, going to be Chayiv. Why you chayev? Because you wrote two oisias on Shabbos. Why would you think you shouldn't be chayev? Because you had a mind to write more than two oisias. The halacha is you chayev, says the Gemara. Elo, it sounds like Rabbi Yehuda shtei oisias vein shnei shem oisudim chayev. It sounds like the only reason why, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you chayev in this case is because not only did you write two oisias, even though you had a mind to write more, but you also wrote two different oisias. But what would be if the person would write two oisias when he had a mind to write more than two oisiyos, and the two oisiyos that he wrote were the same ois, meaning shtei oisiyos v'shein shem echad, it sounds like, says the Gemara, loy mechayev. You're not going to be chayev. Because if you would be chayev, Rabbi Yehuda should have said that in the Mishnah. Why did he pick a case where it's two different oisiyos? He should have picked a case where it's actually the same ois. So Rashi says, what would be an example of that? Sheshach, shin shin, endachof, or chachim, ches ches yud endemem. There are examples of it. So the point is that why did Rabbi Yehuda pick a case where there were different letters, pick a case where there was the same letter? And you see in the Mishnah that writing two different letters is more Chilul Shabbos than writing the same letter. Because the Mishnah had to speak out that even if you write the same letter twice, you're going to be chayiv. So you see that it's a bigger chiddush that you're chayiv for writing the same letter. So if Rabbi Yehuda wanted to tell me the biggest chiddush, if he wanted to tell me that if a person had a mind to write a Shem Gadol, he only wrote a Shem Katan, he's chayiv, and he holds that he's chayiv even if it's the same letter, he should have said that. So the fact that his example was an example where they were different letters, you know what it sounds like? If it was the same letter, you actually wouldn't be chayiv. Frank the Gemara, is that true? But Tanya, we learned to the Braisa, it says in the Pasig, regarding the Karbin Chatos, Dabra Bnei Yisrael Lemer, Nefesh Kisecheta, Bishkoga, Mikol Mitzvah Yisashem, Asheloise Asena, Va'osa Ach Me'achas Mehena. So, the Pasig's talking about a Karbin Chatos, which very much relates to Hilcha Shabbos, because if someone's Mechal Shabbos, B'shoigig, he brings a Karbin Chatos. So the Gemara is going to bring several opinions in the Tanon, how to darshan this Pasig. It says, Va'osa Achas. Yochel, I would have, well, actually, it says va'asa me'achas, but it could have said va'asa achas. So Yochel, you would think, achi yichtib kol Hashem, then you're only chayiv if you write the whole name that you had in mind to write. Vachi yer kol ha-beged, you weave the entire beged that you had in mind to weave. Vachi yasa kol ha-nafa, or you sift everything that you wanted to sift. Tamalomi me'achas. That's why the Torah said me'achas and not achas, to teach me that even if you didn't complete everything that you wanted to do, you'll be chayiv. Yochel, I would have thought, afilu le'kosav ela ois achas, even if you're only one ois, uvel le'ar agel chot echot, you only wove one chod, v'le'osa elo bayis echav enofa, talmud loymar achas. No, okay, it said, eni chayiv, at sheyichtiv shem katam v'shem gadol. The only time you're going to be chayiv is if at the very least it was two oisiyos, and if even if you had a mind to do more and you end up doing less, but a shem katam v'shem gadol is going to be enough for you to be chayiv. Shem mi shemin, for example, umi shmuel, nayach mi nachar, dami daniel, god mi gadil. Sounds familiar? This is the Mishnah. So the Mishnah said that if a person had a mind to write a shem gadol, and you wrote a shem katam, you're going to be chayiv. The one thing the Braisa added that the Mishnah didn't say was the Braisa gave us the source. The Braisa gave us the Makar. The Mishnah, we just had the Halacha without the Makar. Now we know the Makar. Me'achas. So even though you had a mind to do more, you only did some of what you had in mind. You had a mind to do achas and you did some of achas, me'achas, that will be enough for you to be chayv. Second sheet, the Rabbi Yehuda, and this is where we can get into trouble, said, I feel like kosav elashtei oisiyos vein shem echad. If you did the same thing, but the two oisiyos that you wrote were the same ois, could go in shin shin, tough tough, reish reish, gimel gimel, ches ches, even there you're going to be chayv. Rabbi Yehuda is the third sheet, he said, v'chishom kosav hu chayv, v'leyein chayv ala mishum roishin. This is Rabbi Yehuda l'shitasa in our Mishnah. The malach is not kosav, the malach is roish, shekein roish men al Karshei Mishkan, because they used to make signs on the Mishkan later to know Ezahi ben Zugai, to know how to match up the different Kroshim. The Fichach, it's for that reason, says Rabbi Yossi, Sarat Srita Achas al Shtei Nesarim. If somebody would make one mark on two Nesarim, Oy Shtei Sritois al Neser Echad, or he would make two Sritois, two engravings on one Neser, on one brick, chayiv daloch is, or one board, he's going to be chayiv. Reb Shimon, Reb Shimon says, va'asa achas, yochel, I would think, achi yichtavis kol Hashem, I would think you only chayiv if you wrote everything, achi yarev kol, because achi yasas kol anotha, meaning I would think the only time you chayiv is if you do everything that you had in mind to do, tamo loymer, mei achas, imi achas, yochel, I would have thought, lo yikas, ve'lo yis achas, afilo yarev, luchot echav, afilo yasa, elab, ayis, echav, benotha, I would think even if you did a little bit, you'll be chayiv, tamo loymer, achas, okay, it's not any chayiv, achi yasim alocha, shekayotze ben miskayemes. You only chayiv if at the very least what you did was a dover chashav. Incidentally, Reb Shimon was almost verbatim the first sheet in the Brice, and the Gemara is going to address that. Rabbi Yossi said, "Va'asa achas, va'asa heina, pamim shechayev achas al kulon, upamim shechayev al kol achas va'achas." We'll see Rabbi Yossi's sheet a little bit later. But for now, what we need is as follows. What we need is the Gemara had several sheetos or several opinions amongst the Tanaim had to understand why the Torah, when it spoke about the Karban Chatos, didn't say va'asa achas meheina. He did one Aveira B'shoigig, va'asa me'achas mehena. And this price relates it very much to Hilchos Shabbos, that it's coming to teach me a chiddush, that if somebody had a mind to do more, and he ends up doing less than he had in mind to do, he wanted to write Shimon, he only wrote Shimon, wanted to write Noch, he wrote Noyach. So then the halacha is, even though what he did was only me'achas, it was only some of what he had in mind to do, the halacha is he's going to be chai. But there was clearly a machlokes, there was redundancy in this price, as the Gemara will address in a moment, but there was also a machlokes in the price. There was a machlokes between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanakhama said two letters, two different letters. Rabbi Yehuda said, even if it's the same letter, Shin Shin, Tof Tof, Reish Reish, Gimel Gimel, Ches Ches. Who said even the same letter? Rabbi Yehuda. Who is the Tan of our Mishnah that introduced the same exact halacha? It was also Rabbi Yehuda. What did Rabbi Yehuda say in our Mishnah? Two different letters. So Freita Gemara, Ketani Mia Rabbi Yehuda, I'm Rafi Loikasav Elashtei Yoseis, Vein Shem Echad, Chayiv. So it's a steer in Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah says, two different Yoseis. That's the opinion of the Tanakam in the Braisa. Here Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah says, even if it's the same. So the Gemara says, like, Kasha Hadi Dei Hadi Rabbi. One was Rabbi Yehuda's own opinion, the other was Rabbi Yehuda's Rebbe's opinion. Which Rabbi? And how do you know that the Tanya? Rabbi Yehuda, I'm Mishum Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of his Rebbe, Rabbi Gamliel. If a person would write two oises, vein shame echad, he had a mind to write more, he wrote two oises, the same letter. Chayv, kun, shin, shin, tof, tof, reish, reish, gimel, gimel, ches, ches. So Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda's own opinion. Rabbi Yehuda in this Braisa is the opinion of his Rabbi, Rabbi Gamliel. Freit Gemara, Rabbi Shimon, hainu Tanakama. The first opinion that was mentioned in the Braisa, the Tanakama, and then Reb Shimon, if you just go back and look at the words, is almost the same exact shita. So the Gemara says, isn't it the same shita? So the Gemara, v'chitem, you'll tell me, maybe the nafgamina is aleph, aleph, the Azreka. Somebody had a mind to write the word Azreka. That's a pasuk in Yeshaya Perek Memhe. And he ended up writing only Aleph Aleph. Maybe the Machloki says, is that considered something or is that not considered something? What would it depend on? Does Aleph Aleph mean anything? That's what it depends on. Because the only time you chayev is if you wrote some a Shem Katan of a Shem Gadol. But it has to be at least a Shem Katan. So does Aleph Aleph mean anything? So the short answer is no. But at the same time, you do find Aleph Aleph, Rashi says, in Kameyos. You do find Aleph Aleph having meaning in the world of Kabbalah. Is that enough to say that if somebody would write Aleph Aleph, fascinating question, on Shabbos, he was a Kosef? What do you mean? He wrote something in a Kameyah, something of Kabbalah. It's reminiscent of the tshuva of Rabbi Yitzchak Chana with Rabbeinu Tam Tfilin that we spoke about not so long ago. But Aleph Aleph, is that considered something, or is it not considered something? The Ketana Kamas of Aleph Aleph Daz Rekulei Mechayev. Aleph Aleph is nothing. Reb Shimon Sova, Kivin the Isi Begalturi. No, you find Aleph Aleph. You find it in Galturi. Rashi, Kemeyois, Uksavim Shal Mechashvois, Vishal Shemois. You find it in that world. So if that's the case, maybe you'll be Chayev. Maybe that's where Reb Shimon's coming to him. Maybe you're right. He's not fundamentally disagreeing with anything that the Tanakhama or Reb Shimon said. He was coming to add that Aleph Aleph is also a problem. But the Gemara says if that's the case, it would come out that Reb Shimon is more machmer. Right, Reb Shimon said that even if you wrote an Aleph Aleph, you'd be chayav. So maybe the Reb Shimon l'chumra, Reb Shimon is the greatest makel of all time in Hilchos Shabbos. Fatanya, we learned that the price is another kula. I mean, a whole gemara. Reb Shimon's machmer? No way. I mean, this has nothing to do with muktzah. This has nothing to do with davar shein meschaven. This has nothing to do with malacha shein etzricha leguf or some of the other Reb Shimons that we've seen in Mishnayos and Brises where he was makel. This is something else. We learned that the price, kideach kolshu, if somebody grooves a little hole in something, chayav. Hamigar kolshu, if somebody smooths something, scrapes something, he's also going to be chayav. Hamavid kolshu, if somebody is ma'avid a skin on Shabbos, chayav. Hatzar beklitzu, you make a little picture kolshu, All these cases, Yichai, Reb Shimon says no. Achi Yiktach es kuloi, Achi Yigur es kuloi, Achi Yoved es kuloi, Achi Yotzer es kuloi. Reb Shimon is makel. He holds, yeah, the only time you can be chayiv is if you do more. So there's no way Reb Shimon is mach. But the Gemara says, right, Elo Reb Shimon ha'aslashman. Reb Shimon was coming to say something else. Achi Yichtov es Hashem kuloi. Maybe he was coming to be makel. Maybe Reb Shimon was coming to say that the only time you're going to be chayiv, if you had a mind to write a Hashem gadol, you're not chayiv if you write a Hashem katan. The only time you'll be chayiv is if you, in fact, wrote the Hashem gadol. But the Gemara says, not what Reb Shimon said. You could try to kvetch something into the words, but you can't distort it. Reb Shimon didn't say that. Reb Shimon said just the opposite. Reb Shimon, you would think you have to write everything. You don't have to write anything. So how can you tell me Reb Shimon's coming to be makel to tell me that if you had a mind to write Shimon and you don't write Shimon, you're potter? Shimon clearly said not that way. Says the Gemara, you're right. Teretz ve'emahachi. This is what we could do. We can Knech a little bit what Reb Shimon's lashon was. Yochel achiyich tevas ha-pasuk uloi. You would have thought the only time he'd be chayzev right, the whole pasuk, tamal lemer me'achas. The point is, Reb Shimon holds that if someone had a mind to write a shem gadol, he writes a shem katan, he's going to be potter. Hence, Reb Shimon's a different shita. The Tanakam and the Braisa said, shem katan mishem gadol, but only if it's two different letters. Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of his Rebbe, Rabbi Gamliel, shem katan mishem gadol, even if it's the same letter. Reb Shimon holds a third shita, a biggest kula, that shem katan mishem gadol, you're in fact not going to be chayev. What does Reb Shimon then mean in the Braisa where he seems to be stating a chumrah, seems to be stating a situation where you are going to be chayev? He meant if you had a mind to write a whole pasuk and you wrote a shem, but you wrote a complete word of a pasuk that was supposed to be made up of many words, it's in that case that you're going to be chayev. Just one last point as it relates to the daf, and that is Rabbi Yossi said in the braisa the following words. It says va'asa achas va'asa heina pamim shechayev achas al kulam upamim shechayev al kol achas va'achas. Now, Rabbi Yossi is going to darsha from this pasuk four things. And the reason he was going to dash on four things, because Yossi felt there were three things that he didn't like with the pasuk. Va'asa me'achas me'hena. First of all, the word heina is extra. Va'asa achas. It didn't have to say the word heina at all. Not only that, it certainly didn't have to say me'hena. The word me'achas, the mem is extra. So Rabbi Yossi said there's a lot of extra verbiage here. Me'achas could just said achas. Mehena, first of all, I don't know, even though we need the word. And even if you want to tell me the word, what do you need the mem for? So Rabbi Yossi said, because of that, there's a whole bunch of drashas. Here the Gemara explains. He understood it like this. Achas, he could have said achas, instead it said me'achas. Hena, could have said hena, instead it said mehena. And the whole word hena is extra. So he learned like this. Achas she hena, the hena she achas. Explanation. Achas Shimon, me'achas shem mishimon. So the word me'achas teaches me what it teaches me according to the other Tana mentioned in the Braisa. That if you had a mind to write Shimon, you only wrote Shem, you're going to be chayiv. Heina avois, me'heina toldois. You know what the mem of me'heina teaches me? It teaches me toldois. We need a makar to know toldois as it relates to the lametes melachos. Achas shehi heina Zodin Shabbos Feshigas Malachis. The reason the Torah wrote the word Heina in the first place is to put Achas and Heina next to each other to teach me that sometimes a person can be Mechalol Shabbos and he's going to have to bring many Chatois. Heina Shei Achas, and sometimes a person will be Mechalol Shabbos and he'll only have to bring one carbon. What does it depend on? What was the Shkaga? Was the Shkaga the Malachis? Or was the Shkaga the fact that it's Shabbos? If it sounds familiar, it's the first part of Perek Kal Gadol where the Gemara talked about this. And the Gemara there brought this source, that sometimes for being Mechalol Shabbos, many Malachis on one Shabbos, you'd have to bring many Chatois. And sometimes for doing many Malachis on Shabbos, you wouldn't have to bring many Chatois, but rather, you'd only have to bring one Chatos Excel. So just two ha'aros as it relates to today's daf. The Gemara brought a brisa which took up the latter part of the daf, and that was, it says in the Torah, Dabro b'nei Yisrael lemer nefesh ki sechta b'shkoge b'chol mitzvah tasem ha'asher lo yisei osena va'asa me'achas me'hena. And the Gemara felt that me'achas, it should have just said va'asa achas. We're dealing with someone that was mechal Shabbos b'shoigig. So what does it mean va'asa me'achas? It should have just said va'asa achas. What does the mem teach me? That if you had a mind to do more and you end up doing less, you had a mind to write Shmuel or Shimon, you ended up only writing Shem. The halacha is that you're going to be chayiv, because even though what you did was me'achas, still you're going to be chayiv. How do you know that? You know that from this pasuk. Meaning, even though you had a mind to write Shimon and you only wrote Shem, still the halacha is you're going to be chayiv. What's the makar to this halacha? The makar to this halacha is that it says me'achas to teach me that even if you didn't complete the entire malacha that you really intended to do, still the halacha is that you're going to be chayev. there's a Toiras Koyanim in Parshas Achrei Mois that brings several drushos from a pasuk in the beginning of Parshas Achrei Mois. The context over there is Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, the Torah says, "V'hoysol lachem l'chukas oylam." When b'chodesh hashvi, be'osar lachodesh ta'anu es nafshei seicha on Chodesh Tishrei, the 10th day, Yud Tishrei, the chol melacha leisasru ha'ezach v'ager agor b'soichacham. You're not allowed to do melacha on Shabbos, you're not allowed to do melacha on Yontif, you're not allowed to do melacha on Yom Kippur either. If someone does melacha on Yom Kippur, b'mezid, he's going to be chayiv karis, not skila, karis. If he does b'shoyig, he's going to be chayiv chatas. And it says in the Torah, you can't do melacha, but it doesn't just say you can't do melacha. It says, the chol melacha leisasru. You're not allowed to do any melacha. It says the Torah's koyanim in parashas achrei mois. What does it mean, the chol melacha leisasru? Ainly Ella Melacha Gemura, because had it not said V'chol Melacha, I would have thought that the only time a person's chayef for doing Melacha on Yom Kippur is if he does a complete Melacha. Meaning, Shlo Yichtav Al HaSefer, V'lo Yerigas HaBeged, you're not allowed to write a whole book, you're not allowed to weave an entire Beged, V'lo Yasa Kol HaNofer, you're not allowed to sift an entire thing that you're sifting. I mean, Ein Shlo Yichtav Shnei Oisiyos, how do you know that you're also not allowed to write two Oisiyos? V'shle Yorik Shnei Chutim, you're not allowed to weave two Chutim even, V'lo Yasa Shnei Batim HaNofer V'Kivra, Talmud Melacha, v'chol melacha riba. It doesn't just say melacha. It doesn't just say kol melacha. It says v'chol melacha. So from v'chol melacha, we have a riba to teach me that if somebody would write two oisiyos for that, you don't have to write a whole sefer. If you write two oisiyos for that in and of itself, you're going to be chayiv. The Torah's kainam continues. Ein le'el melachas v'shos. Melachas mitzvah minayin. Maybe the only thing you're not allowed to do on Yom Kippur is melachas v'shos. Maybe melachas mitzvah you're allowed to do. Meaning, how do you know you're not allowed to write two oisiyos in a tefillin or in a sefer Torah or a mezuzah? Talmoloymar melacha kudusay melacha. It says v'chol malacha riba. It's coming to be marba. Here's the next halacha. Ain liyal malacha shechayav and aleh karis. Malacha shein chayav and aleh karis minayin. Meaning, how do you know shalei kasef ois? How do you know that you're not allowed to write one letter? Or v'shalei yarek chut. You're not allowed to weave even one chut. V'shalei yase bayis echad. Or you're not allowed benafa v'kivra. Talmud loymar v'chol malacha riba. Then not only is it also to write two ois, but it's also to write one ois as well. So again, what's the shear of koisev? The shear of koisev is, we learned the Mishnah, ha-koisev shtei oisi oisis chayev. Not just that, even if you had a mind to write a shem gadol, you ended up writing a shem katan, even then the halacha is that if you write two oisis, you're going to be chayev. If I asked you, what's the halacha? If somebody writes in ois achas on Shabbos, is he going to be chayev or is he not going to be chayev? So if the ois achas completes a sefer, we'll see that in tomorrow's stuff, then you're going to be chayev. But pashit, if somebody writes an ois, he just sat down and he wrote the literal and the proverbial ois achas, is he going to be chayev or is he not going to be chayev? What should it depend on? Machlokes Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Yuma Ayin Dalet Amid Aleph. Is Chatzi Shir Asa Min HaTorah or is Chatzi Shir Mutter Min HaTorah? We know that how much Nevela does a person have to eat in order for him to be Chayiv Malkus? He has to eat a Kizayas. How much does a person have to eat on Yom Kippur in order for him to be Chayiv Kares? He has to eat a Koseves. What if someone eats less than a Kizayas of Nevela? What if somebody eats less than a Koseves on Yom Kippur? What's the halacha? So it's a machloikis Rabbi Yechon Rish Lakish. Rabbi Yechon knows every time you find the shear, chatzi shear is asam in atayra. So what do you have a shear for? For the einish. Rish Lakish says, no, chatzi shear is mutam in atayra. And really, if a person doesn't do the shear, he doesn't violate the issa deiraisa. Meaning, it's a machloikis Rabbi Yechon Rish Lakish, whether chatzi shear is asam in atayra, or chatzi shear is mutam in atayra. So based on that, the educated answer would be, if somebody writes an oisachas on Shabbos, it's totally in the machloikis Rabbi Yechon Rish Lakish. According to Rabbi Yechon, chatzi shear is asam in atayra, you write an oisachas. You're going to be chai. According to Rish Lakish, chatzi shir is mutam in haTorah. If you write a nice achas, you're going to be pot. Stating that, we've mentioned several times the Chacham Tzvi's Chiddush. The Chacham Tzvi is in his Shailos HaTshuva Simen Peivav, where he said that even though there was machlokes Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish regarding chatzi shir asam in haTorah, but it's only negei suri achila. But as it relates to shari surim that are not in suri achila, said the Chacham Tzvi, there's going to be no chatzi shir asam in haTorah. And the Chacham Tzvi said, I'll prove it. He goes, what's the makar to chatzi shir asam in haTorah? So the Gemara brings a pasuk, the Gemara brings a svara, but Tosfos and Yuma in Dalet Amid Aleph, the top Tosfos says the ikur makar is the pasuk. It says kol chelev etc. lo yisoy chelo. Kol is a ribuy. L'rabbi is even a koshu, even a little bit. It's marvel that even a chatzi shir, Rabbi Yochanan holds chatzi shir asam in haTorah because he darshins kol chelev. Rish Lakish doesn't hold chatzi shir asam in haTorah because he holds that drushes and asmach the balmo. It's not a real drusha, but at the end of the day, it's learned out from a parsha in the Torah that's talking about an iser achila. It's talking about iser chelev. So if that's the case, said the Chacham Tzvi, where it's an iser achila over there, chatzi shir is going to be asam in haTorah. But where it's not an iser achila over there, you're not going to have the halacha of chatzi shir asam in haTorah. We mentioned at
previously that this tshuva of the Chacham Tzvi was Marish Olamos. It was Marish Olamos because it's connected to Rashi and Shabbos Daf Ayin Dal and Aleph. Rashi is talking about Beirer and Oifa, and he says clearly that if someone would be Oifa, a nothing, or it'd be Beirer, even less than a Gregris, he would be Chai. Why? Ayin Yuma Ayin Dal and Aleph. So Rashi seems to be sending us to the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan of Chatzis Shir Asman HaTorah, applying it to Yisurei Shabbos, stating that is the Chiddush of the Chacham Tzvi. We mentioned that this same Chiddush in the Chacham Tzvi is also in the Tzlach in Masechta Brachas. We found it in Rabbi Yisrael Chan in the Bar Yitzchak, and the Nusach we used was that the Poisek Adar of the 17th century, 18th century, 19th century, Ke'ish Echad, Melev Echad, they all said the same Chiddush, that when it comes to Shabbos, there's no Chatzis Shir Asam in HaTorah. So, after further review, if someone were to ask you, if someone writes an oisachas on Shabbos, what's the halach? Mishnah says a koisef shtei oisi is chayev. What if somebody writes an oisachas? Is he going to be chayev or is he not going to be chayev? So first you would say, I don't know. It's vitali in the machlokes Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. It's a chatzis shir. The shir is two oisis. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, chatzis shir asam in atayr, it's in this day raisa. According to Reish Lakish, chatzis shir is mutam in atayr, it's only asam in the rabbanon. So it won't be asam in the raisa. It's only going to be asam in the rabbanon. Then again, you have the Chacham Tzvi, and the Noida B'Yehuda, and the Kovner Rav, Rabbi Yisrael Chanan Spector, who all said that maybe when it comes to Shabbos, there's no Chatzis Shir Asam in HaTorah, and if that's the case, if you write a Noisachas, even according to Rabbi Yochanan, there's not going to be an Issadai Raisa. So I found in the Shailos Tshuvas Beis Yitzchak, for Rabbi Yitzchak Shmelkes, one of the Gedolei Hador of the 19th century, he says, I don't understand what's going on over here. It's a pella to me. Did everybody forget a mefurish at Torah's Kayanim? The Torah's Kayanim we just read. It says by Yom Kippur, not Shabbos. It says by Yom Kippur, V'chol melocha lo sasu. I'm again reading from the last sif katan of the Torah's Kayanim. Ein li yela melocha shechayav an aler karis. Melocha shein chayav an aler karis minay. Meaning acknowledging that if you don't write two oisis, you're not going to be chayav karis. Of course not. But how do you know that there's an isadai raisa to do a chil Shabbos, even where it's not the right shear, even where you're not chayav chata? Even when there is no chorus, shlo yikosev oisachas, shlo yori chutech, shlo yaseh bayisach benov gimel tamulah mamelocha v'chol melocha riba. So if that's the case, freaked Rav Shmelkes, he doesn't understand. It's a mefurish toyas. It's a mefurish toyas kainim. If you want to look it up inside, it's an Erechaim. It's Simen Yud. It's Sifkot and Yud. And his lashon is vehafle shegami menu nelmu divrei atoyas kainim. And I couldn't understand how everybody forgot this toyas kainim. It's a great kasha. But just I'll tell you one thing. He says this. He brings a Yerushalmi. He brings a Yerushalmi in Masechtas Trumas. In the beginning of the sixth parak, the Yerushalmi says, Moider Reish Lakish. Moider Reish Lakish b'yom kippur. Shechatzi shir asam in atayra. Moider Reish Lakish b'yom kippur. Shechatzi shir asam in atayra. Now that's blatantly connected to sugi in Masechtas Yuma. Because the machlokes Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish is in Masechtas Yuma. You know why it's in Masechtas Yuma? Because they're discussing if somebody on Yom Kippur eats less than a shir, if he's asam Midday Raisa, or it's also Midday Rabbana. It's precisely there where the Bavli brings the Machlokes Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Clearly, the Yerushalmi argued with the Bavli. But the Yerushalmi says, Moida Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish is Moida. And when it comes to Yom Kippur, you're going to be Chayev. Says Rav Shmelkes, and all the Achrayim tried figuring out what's the Makar to this? What's the Makar to this halacha? Moida Reish Lakish. Why would it be Moida? Says Rav Shmelkes, it's a Mefurish at Torah's Kayanim. Because the Torah's Kayanim says, V'chol Melacha Loisasa. Where does it say it? It's in Parashas Achrayim Mois. It's in the Kriyas Torah of Yom Kippur. It's talking about Bezois Yovei Aharon Al HaKodesh B'par Ben Bakar. It's the Sar Lashem and the Sar Lazos. And that parish of Ahoy Zois Lachem Luchu Gazoi Lama Chodesh Ashri Basri Yul HaKodesh V'chol Melocha Lo Isasu. In the parish of Yom Kippur it says V'chol Melocha Lo Isasu. It was a Torah Skoyanim. You know where Reish Lakish knew that it's different. It's different when it comes to Yom Kippur. He knew it from this Teres Kohenim. Maybe he held Dafki Yom Kippur, not Shabbos, as he's mashma from the Yerushalmi, which would answer why the Chacham Tzvi and nobody brought this Teres Kohenim. But the bottom line is, says Rav Shmelkes in his Beis Yitzchak, that he thinks this is the Makar to Reish Lakish. The only kasha is, and this is just the goyness of the Beis Yitzchak, I mean, it's kedai to see what a 19th century goyin was. It's ridiculous. You go through these tshuvas. So he said like this. So he said, what's the pshat? I don't understand. What's the Makar that Rabbi Yochanan holds Chatzis Shir is awesome in HaTorah. It says Kol Chelev, lo Yisachelev. Kol Chelev, Kol is the Rabbi's Chatzis Shir. That's Rabbi Yochanan Shita. Reish Lakish argues. Reish Lakish holds it's an Asmach de Ba'alma. Tosfos says in Psachim Daf Mem Dalet Amid Aleph that this Machloikis, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, is not a local Machloikis as it relates to Chatzis Shir Asim in HaTorah, but rather it's a global machloikis. It's a marumuk in this Tosfos that's worth having. And that is, Rabbi Yochanan darshins the word koil in Shas, And Rish Lakish doesn't darshan the word kol and chas. The top toisvus in Masechtas Pesachim daf mem dalad amanav. We spoke about this at the very end of Masechtas Bechayrus. Is a tshuvas chasam soifer in Siman Shin Vav where he talks a lot about this. Rabbi Yochanan is the one that holds of kol. Rish Lakish not. Every time you find a sugya or a deraisa that's based on the word kol, it's not going to stim with Rish Lakish. It only works in Rabbi Yochanan's world. Rabbi Yochanan holds kol chel of the rabbis chatzishir. It's because he darshan the word kol. Rish Lakish doesn't darshan the word kol. As I stated in toisvus. So if that's the case, right to base Yitzchak, he doesn't understand how Rish Lakish could accept this Teiris Kayanim. The Teiris Kayanim says, V'chol malacha leisasu. The rabbis, if someone writes an oisachas, he's saying, that's pshat in the Yerushalmi. Makes a lot of sense. Yerushalmi says, Maidu Rish Lakish B'yam Kippur. Why? Because he have a Teiris Kayanim. The problem is the Teiris Kayanim is based on the same thing that Rabbi Yochanan's halacha of Chatzis Shir Asmanat Teiris based on. Kol chayla v'chol malacha. What difference does it make? So said Rav Shmelkis, I'm going to tell you the difference. Because there's a Teisus and a Sechtes Menachis, that Yud based on the base. The Gemara over there is discussing whether you darsh an essen. Shimon Amsuni Hayadirish Kalas and Shabbatira until he came to Hashem Kechatira, he was Pyresh, Achabor Rabbi Akiva, as Hashem Kechatira, the rabbis of Milchachom. So throughout Shas, there was some Tanam that Darshan Essen, there were Tanam that didn't Darshan Essen. Toisvis Menachis, Yud Aleph Amid Beis, asks a steer in Rabbi Huda. He says, I have a Gemara Rabbi Huda Darshan S, and I have a Gemara Rabbi Huda didn't Darshan S. Says Tois, you know what the Teretz is? Rabbi Huda didn't Darshan S. Rabbi Yehuda Darshan V'es. It's a Toisus. So it says the Beis Yitzchak, could be, just like Toisus was Mechalik, in Rabbi Yehuda Shita, of Doirish Es and Shabbatayra, not being Doirish Es and Shabbatayra, between S and V'es, it could be there's a chilek between Kol and Vichol. Kol Chela, Vaisa Chela, Yumai and Dalar Amar Aleph, Rish Lakish doesn't Darshan. And that's Toisus and Psochem and Dalar Amar Aleph, Rabbi Yehuda Shlakish never Darshan the word Kol. But Vichol Melocha Loisasu, it's not the same word. There's a difference in Kol and Vichol. So what are you going to say? All it is a Vav? I am Toisus Menachas, Yud Aleph Amar Beis. Toisus made the same Chiluk as it relates to S. S, Kol, Gam, these are all words that are Ribuyim in the Torah. And just like by S, there's a distinction between S and V-S, so by Kol, there's a distinction between Kol and V-Kol. Either way, this is what the Beis Yitzchok says. This Torah is Kayanim of V'chom Aleich Aleisas. At first glance, this would seem to be an open Makar that Chatzis Shir Asim in HaTorah on Shabbos, certainly Yom Kippur. He says that is Pshat Reish Lakish in the Yerushalmi and Masechtas Trumas, that Moed Reish Lakish. When it comes to Yom Kippur, at the end of the day, this is based on the Chom Alacha Leisasu. That's Kol. So why would Rish Lakish Darshan Vikol and not Kol? Meaning there was an Asmachta. Why shouldn't it be an Asmachta in this Teres Kainim as well? The Teres is the difference maybe between Kol and Vikol. Another Raya to Toisvus's Chilik in Menachis Yod Aleph on the base. Toisvus was talking about S. He's talking about Kol. But the bottom line is, again, go back to the original question. If somebody asks you, Chatzis Shir when it comes to Shabbos, a person writes an Ois Achas, he weaves one little something. Is it going to be Chal? What's the Halacha? So the short answer, you would think, is you can quote Rashi, Shabbos Ayin Dalam and Aleph. It's a machloikis, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Mitzad Sheni, we have the Chacham Tzvi. Where the Chacham Tzvi and the Noida Behud and Rabbi Zechokhan Inspector all said that no, by Shabbos, no one holds Chatzis Shir Asim in HaTorah. And now we may have the other side of the spectrum. We may have a Teiras Kayanim that Rav Shmelkis brought in his Beis Yitzchak, and that is that it could be when it comes to Shabbos and Yom Kippur, it could be there's a Pasuk, there it says Vichol, maybe Vichol is different, even Reish Lakish is going to be Moida. But the bottom line is, there we have a Pasuk, could be everybody's going to hold Chatzis Shir Asim. But that's the first Torah. The second Torah is we're learning Perek Abayna. And the beginning of Perek Abayna talks about the Malacha of Bayna. Rashi, where was Bayna in the Mishkan? Where was Bayna in the Mishkan? So that was the Malachas HaMishkan. All the Lamites Malachas were preparing for the Mishkan. So cooking up the dye or planting the plant so that you could have dye to cook. If that was Malachas HaMishkan, building, erecting the Mishkan is in Lacha. Meleches HaMishkan Gedoyla Mizu. Rashi in Parsha Shmini says that Vayhi Bayom HaShmini. So what was Vayhi Bayom HaShmini? The first 7 days that the Mishkan was built, Moshe Rabbeinu did the Melach. Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to be the Kohen Gadol, but because he didn't agree immediately to Hashem's request to be the messenger to take the Yidden out of Mitzrayim, so he lost that on being the Kohen Gadol, stating that he got 7 days of Kohen Gadol. The first 7 days of the Mishkan's existence, Aharon HaKohen was not the Kohen Gadol, Moshe Rabbeinu was the Kohen Gadol. There's a machlokes if he had a din of a Kohen Gadol, he had a din of a Zohar, to sugya in Masechtas Zvachim Daf Kuf Beis. But the point is, Moshe Rabbeinu did the Malacha in the Mishkan for the first 7 days. Vayhi Bayom HaShmini, it was on the 8th day, meaning after the first 7 days of the Mishkan where Moshe Rabbeinu did it, then Aharon did the Avodah. The Pasuk describes what went on that 8th day. there was some good and there was not so good. Nadav and Avihu, of course, passed away. That's why it says Vayihi, Ein Vayihi El Loshen Tzar. But also it was such a Yom Simcha, Yom Shenivru by Shemayim Va'aretz. But in that context of all those psukim, the Torah says as follows: Vayavay Moshe ve'Aharon al Oyo Moed, Vayetsu, Vayivorchu Esa'om, Vayeru Kveid Hashem al Kolam. Moshe and Aharon go out and they bench Klal Yisrael. What was the bracha? Amru, they said, V'hi noyam Hashem alekeinu aleinu, U'masi adeinu koinu aleinu, U'masi adeinu koinu aleinu. I'm reading from Rashi. Yehi rotzayim, Moshe and Aharon give a bracha to Klal Yisrael. Shetishre shchina b'maisi yedeche. They gave a bracha that you should be zoicha tashroyas hashchina. L'fi, shekol shevitzim yamaluim, all 7 days, shevidu Moshe l'mishkan, when Moshe Rabbeinu was building the Mishkan, v'shimesh b'ayinu was working in the Mishkan, u'parku b'chol yoyim, and he would dismantle it at the end of the day. L'yisharsa b'yishchina. So every day, says Rashi, during the shevitzim yamishkan, Moshe Rabbeinu would build a Mishkan and then he would take it down. But there was never Shechina, and it bothered the Yidden terribly. They thought maybe it was because of the Chet HaEgel. But now, Moshe Rabbeinu came, he gave a bracha, Yiratzen Shetitra Shechina B'Masi Yadechem. Now you're going to have the Shechina. The Hafla in his Sefer on Chumash, Panim Yafois, asks a bumba kasha. For 7 days during the Shivas Yimei Amaluin, Moshe Rabbeinu would erect the Mishkan and then he would take it down. And he would pick it up and then he would take it down again. If Moshe Rabbeinu did it for 7 days, that means it was done on a Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday on a Shabbos. You can't have 7 consecutive days without a Shabbos. That means the Moshe Rabbeinu built the Mishkan on Shabbos. Freaked upon him, Yotho, is to have flaw that he doesn't understand. How can Moshe Rabbeinu have been boyin of the sois of the Mishkan on Shabbos? L'chur, if Moshe Rabbeinu built the Mishkan on Shabbos, that means he violated the Melacha boy. Azoy freaked the haflaw kash. And the flaw says a very geshmaka teretz, certainly in light of some of the raid that we've spoken about recently, and that is, who says Moshe Rabbeinu built it by himself? Maybe he had somebody assist him. And if he had somebody assist him, it comes out he was a shnayim sha'asu. It was two people doing it together. Shnayim sha'asu on Shabbos, no worries. He didn't do it by himself. He did it with the assistance of some others. And if that's the case, it was a Shnayim Shasu. Now, the truth is, not for now, we're going to keep the end flat. But the truth is that this teretz of the Hafla is totally in the Bar Yitzchak. It's totally in Rabbi Yitzchak Chanan and Erechaim Simen Yodalit, where Rabbi Yitzchak Chanan declared Shnayim Shasu, is it a Ptur in the Chatas? Or Shnayim Shasu is not even a Nisa Deiraisa? He thought originally that a Shnayim Shasu is not even a Nisa Deiraisa. But then at the end of the Tshuva, he says he found an Asivo said it's really a Nisa Deiraisa. And he says the truth is, I came around as well, and my whole tshuva that I wrote was Tal Yaldusi. I wrote it when I was young, when I was a youth. He's I've come around now, and I realize now with Bina and Zikna and Eitza as I got older that it's a mistake. Shnayim Shasu was an Issa Deiraisa. If Shnayim Shasu was an Issa Deiraisa, then the Haflos Teretz is not a Teretz. Who cares if it was Shnayim Shasu? It's still an Issa Deiraisa. So Luchura, this part of Yafis is a raya to where Rabbi Yisrael Chanan held in the Havamina in Simon Yodalid, not like the way he came around when he got older, not like what he found later in the Nesivas. But either way, that's the Haflos Teretz. How was Moshe Rabbeinu able to build a Mishkan all days of the Shivas Yimei Amaluim? L'chura, how could you do it every day? One of the days is Shabbos. Shabbos, you're not allowed to be Baina. The Teretz is, maybe it was a Shnayim Sha'asu. Shnayim Sha'asu, you also suggest maybe it was done with a Shinoi. And if it was done with a Shinoi, in that case, it wouldn't be a problem. But the truth is that the Haflas Talmud, his Talmud Muvik, the Heilige Chacham Sofer asks this kasha as well, in Teres Moshe, and it's in Parshas Pekudei, and over there, the Chacham Sofer says a different Teretz, based on a Mefurish Rashi. It's a Rashi in Chumash. This Rashi is in Parshas Pekudei. Rashi says that all the Levim, a lot of Yidden got involved in the Melachas HaMishkan. Bezalel was the general contractor, Kavi Yochel. But he wasn't the only one that was involved. There were others that were involved as well. The only person who hadn't done anything yet for the Mishkan was Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe Rabbeinu comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he says, yeah, I didn't do anything. Everybody contributed. I'm the only one that didn't contribute. He didn't give any money towards it. He didn't do anything. And he said, if I didn't do anything, I want to do something. So Hashem told Moshe, listen, you know what you're going to do? You're going to build the Mishkan. Everyone's just putting all the pieces together. You're going to physically build the Mishkan. And if you're going to be the one that's going to physically build the Mishkan, that's what you're going to do. You're going to finish it. You're going to literally build the Mishkan. But the Gemara says, Moshe told the Kodesh Baruch Hu, Eich efsher ha-kamasa ha-idei adam. It's too heavy, all these beams. Moshe Rabbeinu was a gibar. He was a chacham, a gibar, an asher. He was an anav. He was a baal kaima. He was able to lift the luchas, but he couldn't build the Mishkan by himself. He said, I can't. It's too heavy. So if it's too heavy, what am I supposed to do? Amaloi. So listen to what Hashem tells Moshe. Asoik ata biyotcha. You do what you need to do. V'nirakim akimoi. It's going to look like you're lifting it, but v'niska mikameil. Don't worry about it. It's going to go up by itself. Zeu shenema zokrashi. Hukam hamishkan. Hukam me'elof. It all got up by itself. Moshe Rabbeinu never built the Mishkan. Moshe Rabbeinu faked it. He acted as if he was. I mean, he looked like it. But at the same time, he didn't really build it. It was Hukam Elav, it's a Mefurish Rashi. It's not Tachsam Soifer, it's Pasha, that's the Teretz to the Kasha. What's the Kasha? How was Moshe Rabbeinu able to do it for 7 days? If Moshe Rabbeinu was Boino, yeah, there's no Binyan on Shabbos. We talked about Binyan on Yontif, Toysvis, Sadekei, making cheese, Tachsam Soifer, all that raid. But no, but this is Shabbos. Everyone holds Binyan's also on Shabbos. But it's not Tachsam Soifer, he never built it. It was Hukam Elav. It all happened on its own. So if it all happened on its own, it's not going to be an issue. So I was thinking, isn't it interesting? Boino is the Malacha of the Malach Samish. And it turns out, really, after further review, no one ever built the Mishkan. All the pieces were assembled, everyone was put together. It was Hukam Eilov. Yet Boina goes down as one of the Lamatas Malachas. And the truth is, in order for something to be a Malacha, it had to have been something that was done in the Malachas HaMishkan. Not just that, Malachas Machsheves. There was no Boina in the Mishkan. No one built it. It was Hukam Eilov. It literally happened on its own. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one that built it. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one that built it, where was the Boina in the Mishkan? There was no Boina. So why does Boina go down as one of the Lamatas Malachas? So the truth is, it really, this Kasha is dependent on the raid we spoke about earlier in Perikla Gadol. There was no Zereya in the Mishkan. Was there Zereya? Was there not Zereya? The Mechaz Chinuch HaMaisach HaShabbos. It's too late to go back into there. But I just had one Hergish. The Hergish was like this. Why are we assuming that that there was no Boina? Because what do you mean? Hashem said, Moshe, you just stand there and you're going to see it's going to happen. The truth is, every time we do something, are we really in control? Is it something that we're really doing? It's always Hashem that's doing it. And the truth is, even if it's something that you could lift, even if it's something that you could lift, a person could lose his strength in a second. There are people that nebuch, they're not well, they're so weak, they can't lift anything. So not just they can't lift crotch, and they possibly can't lift a pen. The point is that all the koyach that we get, anytime we lift anything, it's always from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's always Siyata Deshmaya. The fact that Moshe Rabbeinu needed help, he needed assistance from Shemayim, just a hergish, to go ahead and to build a Mishkan, that doesn't mean Moshe Rabbeinu didn't build it. Because the truth is, everything a person does, it always, nothing sefutnished without Siyata Deshmaya. Everything is with Siyata Deshmaya. You're right, this is a little more dramatic. This is a little bit more extreme. Hukam Eilov, no question. But at the same time, the fact that Hashem needed to help Moshe, Hashem told Moshe, you build it. I can't do it. I'm going to help you. I'm rather going to have to help you. So, but at the end of the day, assistance from HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't take away. Because if something that Hashem helps me do is not considered as if I did it, then you can never do anything. You know, I recently saw something beautiful in one of the Sfarim from Rabbi Yonison Steif, and I actually want to thank Rabbi Michal Steif, Rabbi Yonison Steif's enikel, for giving me some of his grace's Zayda Svarim. So Rabbi Yonison Steif was a Talmud of the Shevet Sofer. Rav Shevet Sofer was Rabbi Simcha Bunin Sofer. He was the son of the Ksav Sofer, of course, was the son of the Chsam Sofer. So the Chsam Sofer was the Rav in Presburg. He had the yeshiva in Presburg. After he passed away, his son, the Ksav Sofer, took over. And after the Ksav Sofer was nifter, the Shevet Sofer took over. So Rabbi Yonison Steif was a Talmud of the Shevet Sofer. And he said something beautiful. He said, Shamati, I said, I heard from my Rebbe, the Shevet Sofer, he used to say, Chazal say, Torah Mateshes Koicha Shel Adam. What does that mean? So if a person learns Torah, he can't be strong. Yeah, Rish Lakish, he couldn't jump over the water. Then again, Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu Adoneinu Moshe was a gibor. He was able to lift the luchos, right? So what does it mean? Torah Mateshes Koicha Shel Adam. So he said something unbelievable. He said that when a person learns Torah, he realizes that he's not in control. He realizes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one in control. So he loses the koichi va'oitzim yodi also liyasachai lazeh. That's the Torah Mateshes Koicha Shel Adam. That koichi va'oitzim yodi, that sense that a person walks around thinking that he's in control of his life and he controls his successes and he controls his failures, that's a mistake. Torah Mateshes Koicha Shel Adam. When a person learns Torah, when a person connects himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he has a kirvas alikim, he realizes that he's not in control. Torah is Mateshes Koicha Shel Adam. So holy, so gewaldig. But either way, that's what Rabbi Yonison Steif said. He heard from his grace of Rebbe, the Shevet Sofer. That's the point. The point is, we have no koichi va'itzim yodi asaliyas achayil hazeh. Everything we do is all with siyata d'shmaya. So the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu needed help from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to build the Mishkan, there's no news. Yeah, this was a little bit more dramatic. But at the same time, that doesn't take away from the fact that the act of binyan was in siyachas to Moshe. That doesn't make it not being a meleches machshavah.